The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Philadelphia 76ers new city jerseys, all right? They've got the black, which is a nod to the Iverson jerseys. That little skyline is Boathouse Row. I guess it's a river line, right? Blackstone doesn't like that. But look at this. As brought to us by Beeline's 93, discovered TTP. Trust the process. Yes, and around the horn investigation.
Subliminal.
Whatever that process was.
Jersey.
I don't trust Stephen's
land. I like the Liberty Bell at the waistline.
We'll get to it, Jackie. We'll get to it. Maybe you guys were watching last night to see who would win a football game. Maybe who would lose a football game. Patriots needing every second of the 60 minutes to beat the Jets. The Jets. Those Jets ran four plays in total in the fourth quarter because of how New England ate clock. Jackie, I'm looking over at you. Encouragement, discouragement. I'm just looking for a feeling. I just want you to feel, Jackie, something for this New England team and Cam Newton. Go ahead.
So what I feel for New England Patriots is they needed to win so desperately, they can't worry about who is against or how they got it. Let's start with that. If you're Cam Newton, you were really precariously on the edge of a cliff in terms of your mental fortitude, at which he has said many times, you helped them win this game. Greg Williams dared you to beat his team with the pass, and you did when it counted most to set up the winning field goal. I will say this. He has not thrown a passing touchdown, Tony, since late September.
Is that right?
That is still not a recipe for real big success, and he should thank Rex Burkhead and give him the game ball because he really helped him win it to keep the Jets honest.
Well, I'm not sure that's encouragement then, especially when you have that stat. He hasn't thrown one since, what was it, week three?
It's
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, of course he hasn't thrown any because who's he going to throw them to, right? I mean, you see those receivers out there? He's got the one guy who he trusts and none of the other names that you're that even familiar with. This season is all on Cam Newton's shoulders. We knew that coming in, and we really know it now. I mean, he's third in rushing touchdowns in the NFL right now, right? So, I mean, he's got to carry this team on the ground as well because he really doesn't have any running backs to who he can trust. So, Jackie's absolutely right. Win any sort of way you can. They pulled it out last night. Just chalk it up.
Yeah, Donde.
Yeah, Jackie, I wouldn't be that concerned because, yeah, Dalvin Cook and Todd Gurley, those are the only two people with more rushing touchdowns than him. So, also in goal-to-goal situations since he came in the league in 2011, nobody has scored more touchdowns in that situation than him. So, he is elite in those categories. But even though the numbers were pretty good last night, I'd be concerned at just the way he looked. He didn't look comfortable. He kind of looked gassed and a little bit worn out on that last last regulation drive. He doesn't look like he's recovering from COVID. He hasn't had a chance to work with these receivers in this very unusual offseason. So there's a multitude of reasons why they haven't been, and he hasn't been that good.
Some might say there was a multitude of words you could have used, Jay Adande, but you chose to use one, and now you're not feeling so comfortable and looking so comfortable. Clinton Yates, join us.
I would say that he looked like he lost a step, and the offense, as a result, looks lethargic. It took them 81 snaps to barely beat the Jets. That's the most they had all season, and they got a fullback in the game for half the daggone snaps as well. It was bizarre, and you're thinking to yourself, man, they cannot move it the way that they used to simply because the quarterback is not the guy that he used to be, and that's fine. But they managed to pull it out. I guess we can call that encouraging. I still don't necessarily know that the Jets didn't look like a better team that just happened to lose a game.
Jackie, you want back in? Please, go ahead.
Even though, you know, we know who they are.
Yeah, Clinton's hit on it. All that stuff you just talked about, J.A., the banned word, which I will not be tracked into saying regarding Cam Newton. That's the old days, my friend. This is a different Cam Newton who has lost his step, who is still big and strong, but can't plow through and run out in the open field the way he used to. Can he do that occasionally? Yes. But they can't count on that to win.
I want to get to something Clinton said. You might argue this was the best possible outcome for the New York Jets. Competitive game. still on track for number one? But because they lost.
Absolutely.
So are you mesmerized
with
how rock bottom this franchise is, Clinton Yates? Or is everything according to plan here?
You know, as somebody that is jokingly rooting for 0-16 just to be able to have something to talk about, this was the first game the Jets played this season that they should have won. That last possession with a minute and a half left where they're just throwing, you know, they're just wasting all kinds of time. For once, I saw a Jets team that looked better than the team that they faced up until the end result. I was stunned.
I'm not sure I'm with you, though, there. I mean, would we talk about them if they were 0-16? This team, so rock bottom that there's no point even talking about them. That's where they are. Their only purpose here is to see if they're the team that lands the number one pick with Trevor Lawrence, right, Jay?
Yeah, well, Tony, I thought we were only supposed to be banned from using Elite in reference to Joe Flacco.
Oh, you're going the wrong way.
We're bringing that back.
Now you're just making mock the entire tradition of around the horn. Go away, Jay.
We had Joe Flacco and Frank Gore in a game last night. So it felt old school. So how about that old school? How about Joe Flacco moving past Joe Montana on the
All right, now you put him in the same sentence. This is just an impossible hole you're digging yourself into here, J.A. Donovan. I do want to talk about Trevor Lawrence here for a second, too, because he's in a position where every word he says is being split and parsed. And I want to ask you if that's fair to him, but first, let's listen to him in his own words.
Yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy my last whatever few months here, if that's what it's going to be, so... Obviously, I'm not trying to make a stir. I don't want any more people talking about me than they already are. So my thing is I'm just never going to corner myself to where I have to do something just because of something I said in the past. So I'm leaving the door open for all my options.
Clinton, how do you hear Lawrence there?
I hear that as a college kid who's just tired of the attention, and especially when he's not actually playing football. And that's the most difficult part about all this. It's one thing when the cameras are swirling around your program when you're a Heisman favorite because it's actually focused on what you do and what you like to do. But now that Clemson's in a little bit of adversity from a team standpoint and he's not even playing, this team's just like, hey, man, can you please leave me alone? I don't even care about the NFL right now. I got my boys right here I got to worry about in the season right here as well. That's what shows that he's a leader.
Jackie Mack?
I agree. I think I don't understand why anybody would have any problem with what Trevor Lawrence is saying. And I do have an issue with everybody constantly parsing words and splitting things out and speculating about this and that and the other thing. He's a kid. He may come back. He may not. I'm guessing. I think we all probably feel he probably won't. He'll probably go pro. But until he does that, he doesn't want us being on the air, playing back his words when he says, I think I might stay, and say, oh, we can't even trust what Trevor Lawrence says. Let's leave this kid alone.
Glad to hear both of you guys say that. Kevin, you'll remember last year, it became a story with Joe Burrow every week, even to the point of whether he liked Cincinnati chili. So hearing Lawrence yesterday speak those words, what did you think?
Well, I just think that he's a young man, and you know what? When this season didn't look like it was going to happen, he was the poster young man, for getting college football back on the field. He was loquacious and unequivocal about that. So I don't want to hear now, all of a sudden, that he's being asked questions about what he's going to do next season, which is the biggest question in college football, that all of a sudden we're supposed to cut him some slack because he hasn't made up his mind. You don't have much of a choice. Either you go to the worst team, which is what the best quarterback in college football does in the draft, or you go to an option like a second sport, which he does not have, or you go to Canada or you stay where you are. Those are your options.
Jay Adande.
To me, Trevor Lawrence sounds wise beyond his years. I mean, if we've learned nothing from 2020, it's that you shouldn't plan too far in the future because, I don't know, a worldwide pandemic could come along and shut everything down. Should he commit to playing in the NFL next year if we don't even know for sure that there will be an NFL season next year? Have you looked at the rising spread of coronavirus and the rates these days? So he's smart to leave his options and to not make a commitment to anything.
That's all I'm asking. Thanks for your thoughts on that. One more topic here. Bruce Arians. Have you guys seen Bruce Arians recently? He's wearing the shield. Underneath the shield, he's got his glasses. Underneath his glasses, he's got an entire look with a different frame. I want you to listen to him from his press conference yesterday.
Mike was open a bunch in that ballgame. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
So another moment here where some are thinking he's being critical of Tom Brady. How'd you hear it, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I think he was being critical, but I don't think he was being dismissive. Look, he's trying to win a championship down there with a guy like Tom Brady. This is their big shot. And so he's just pointing out some things that he probably saw in the film room. And Tom Brady probably saw the same things. But still, he's got a quarterback who's top five right now in the league, and he's just trying to make him be perfect because that's what they need in order to
Jackie win. Jackie Mack?
Tom Brady had a 3.8 QBR in this game, Tony. Do you think he needs his coach to tell him he didn't play well or that he might have missed some open receivers?
Okay, that's one thing.
But Bruce Arians is being...
He doesn't need his coach to tell him that, but his coach said it publicly. That's, I guess I just want to make that distinction here.
So Bruce Arians is being honest, and I can't imagine why anyone would have a problem with your coach being honest. He didn't say that Tom Brady was unprepared or didn't care or was purposely looking off Mike Evans. He just stated facts. Mike Evans was open, and Tom Brady didn't always hit him.
Do you believe it's been a difficult adjustment for Brady to be with a different coach than Belichick, Jackie?
I'm sure it's been somewhat difficult, but it's probably been a lot easier in other ways, too, because if you believe all the behind-the-scenes stuff about what a taskmaster Belichick was in comparing Brady to the high school quarterback at Foxborough High School, I mean, which would you prefer, the private ridicule or the public honesty?
Yeah, Don,
you'll have to ask Tom.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's an adjustment, but he's not the only one going through. It seems like we're making more excuses for Tom Brady and what he's having to go through than similar quarterbacks, including Cam Newton, who's had to go through this as well. But, yes, Arians is just giving an honest assessment about a quarterback who's tied for fifth most interceptions in the league, is in the middle of the pack in stats like QBR and passing rating, and wasn't very good in this loss against this.
And Clinton Yates.
I also think there's a healthy element of him saying, yo, we brought your boy along and our offense looked fine. And all of a sudden we show up and there's nothing happening at all. There's an element of you're just getting older and that's going to have to change your execution standpoint. He looked like he couldn't make the throws. Every single time he got blitzed, all of a sudden he was flummoxed and he could not get the ball out. And that was a factor. So it doesn't matter how many weapons you have at that point. If you can't deliver them the football, who cares? And that's what.
Well, that's the old joke, right? Your thoughts on the execution in last week's game? I'm all for it. The execution. Never look at that video again. Never look at that film again. Move on if you're Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Taking a break right here. Buy or sell next in 2 minutes. Jay Adande, even par. Not sure that's where you want to be unless you're at Augusta right now, but okay. Sure, I see
you. Green jacket, baby. Green jacket.
Yeah. Skip it across the lake, J.A.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's been 12 days since the Chicago White Sox hired Tony La Russa. Now this ESPN report from Jeff Passan, Paula Levine, and Charlie Moynihan that La Russa was pulled over for a DUI in February. It was filed by the arresting officer police 13 days ago in October. Details of the exchange with the arresting officer being reported today. Do you see my ring? I'm a Hall of Fame baseball person. I'm legit. He previously had a DUI in 2007. The team says they knew of both and it won't affect his employment. Should it, Clinton Yates?
It already has affected his employment. If you don't believe that his leadership is compromised at some level as a result of what we've seen this hiring process be, then you're kidding yourself. We talked last week about whether or not he's actually had a discussion with TA or not. I said, yeah, you might want to hold off on that. God knows what's going to happen. Well, this is the reason why. At this point, you've got to turn over leadership to the players on that team who matter, because even if it doesn't get you fired, it's certainly going to affect whether or not people take you seriously in a clubhouse.
Jay Donde.
This was the White Sox chance to eject from a wildly unpopular choice that they made. Here's your ironically get out of jail free card. And they're passing on it. They're sticking by him. They're doubling down. It's important to remember, though, that he hasn't been convicted of drunk driving. But still, it's a bad look for the franchise.
Kevin Blackstone.
It's a really horrible look for the franchise. It's also a bad look for baseball. Baseball doesn't apparently have any sort of policy to handle this sort of situation.
DUIs,
so you hope that the leadership of your organization would handle it other than they have. Had this been a player, I think the reaction would be considerably different.
Jackie McMullen.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, KB, that if it's a player, there's some kind of discipline handed down. Maybe that can happen with Tony La Russa, maybe not. Here's what I was searching for before we came on the air, was his salary, Tony. Because please, Mr. La Russa, hire a driver, okay? And then we can put an end to this discussion.
You said, Kevin, it would be received differently if it was a player. That may be true. It is being received by the general public in a very dark way. And people do not, you know, people frown upon DUI. I do get uncomfortable when you're reading the arresting officer and the exchange. It's uncomfortable to read that for anybody, but some are taking that as well and going places with it. It's not a good situation for a franchise altogether, and that's what you guys are telling me. We'll move on. New ownership for the New York Mets. Steve Cohen introduced today. Here's how it went down.
But if I don't win a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, I'd like to make it sooner. Then you know, obviously, you know, I would consider that slightly disappointing.
There you go.
You know, I mean, when I really thought about this, you know, I can make millions of people happy. And what an incredible opportunity that is. And so, you know, that's how I'm thinking about this. You know, I'm not trying to make money here.
Winning a World Series within 3 to 5 years, making millions of people happy? Did that just win the press conference, Jay Donnet?
They won the press conference, but guess what? You don't hang banners or pennants for winning the press conference. I also like what he had to say about diversity and his commitment there. So a great start, but how's it going to end?
KB?
That's the real story.
Well, of course he's not trying to make any money. The guy's worth $14 billion, one of the greatest hedge fund stories in the history of hedge funds. And not only that, he's got to sound good in this press conference, given what the hurdles he had to get over in order to get approved to make this purchase.
I liked everything he said, including the part where he said, I only played Little League baseball. I'm going to leave the guy that knows baseball. I'll leave that decisions to them.
All right, we'll see if that plays out.
To everybody's ears. That's what you want the owners to say. He said it.
Love the seasonal outfit as well. Got the gingham check and the oatmeal half dip. Good look. But overall, why are you putting a number on this? 3 to 5 years.
Exactly.
What are you in a rush for? It's not like the Mets have all sorts of priorities. Just let it play out if you don't know any better.
It's like when you come out and you say, we're going to be playing meaningful games in September. We're going to play meaningful games in October. Whoa, I mean, all right. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Let's be frank. Penn State currently a bad football team. But there should be no debate. James Franklin is the right leader for Penn State football. Benjamin Faree, the Daily Collegian. Faree said the comments online calling for Franklin's job are ridiculous. KB, where does blame lie for this Penn State team 0-3, and how hot is Franklin's seat right now?
Well, of course, it lays with the coach. I mean, he's running the show there. These are his players. But he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's got a contract through 2025 with a buyout worth about $34.8 million. He's going nowhere.
Right, and I'm not sure that we should be talking about him getting fired. They're having a bad season, and of course KB is right. When you have your teammates talking about lack of unity and other things like that, that does fall on the coach. And if we're going to give him credit for the wins they've had in previous years, he needs to take some of the blame for this year. But I don't know that automatically means you toss him out the door.
Yeah, but James Franklin is the kind of coach that people around college football like. I wouldn't be stunned if somebody else tried to poach him. But overall, if Penn State fires him, it's a larger statement about who they are. He brought them out of the dark ages, and they have to reconsider whether or not they think that their ceiling is that high overall if you get rid of a guy like that.
Exactly, and they can't get caught in this moment. And maybe he's just not dealing that well with all the particular challenges that 2020 is bringing to a number of areas, including trying to coach a football team. But you need to look at the larger picture and understand that these circumstances will not exist throughout the duration of that contract.
Do you think it's COVID-related, why they're 0-3? I mean, there are other teams in conference. I believe you know of a few that
he's
have
not been, living with
that
family.
To a better start.
You don't think
Jay and Kevin, just take the compliment, all right? I was about to say Northwestern's 3-0 in conference, all right? Take the compliment.
Oh, man, now that you brought
it up. Ed Blackstone, Maryland for you as well. Yates, McMullen, showdown next. Sixers City jersey is coming up. Orlando Magic has a new jersey as well. Citrus motif. Speaking of the Magic, anyone know which Magic legend is still getting buckets right here? Big Baby!
Big Baby going shirts and skins. You love to see
it. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Clinton Yates, Jackie McMullen, good luck in showdown.
If you didn't know who America's team was, you should have seen the stands and all the terrible towels. Dallas may be America's team, but we'll be the world's team.
Mr. Yates, is Roethlisberger right there? The Steelers are now world's team?
As somebody that's known Benjamin since we were both in college, there's a healthy amount of go get him for him, but there's also a decent amount of corniness, and this one was a little corny, man. You're undefeated. Nobody cares about the Cowboys. Get over it.
Yeah, nobody cares about the Cowboys, but I think it's a little presumptuous to call yourself the world team. They haven't won a championship in 11 years, and I know the Cowboys haven't won recently either. So I don't think either one of them are a world team right now.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to go the other way here. I mean, you look at any game, there are more terrible towels than anything else for every road game they play. It's possible they're America's team now, if not the world's team. No points. We'll move on. Sixers, new city jerseys. I want to talk about this. The black maybe brings in the Iverson. Boathouse Row is the river line there. Jackie, are these keeper or loser?
No, these are keepers. They're taking care of everything, including the TTT, Trust the Process, and their Liberty Bell right around the waistband, which is what should really catch your eye. Iverson likes them. I like them, too.
These are losers. It felt like the people that worked with all the real artists last year found out it was cool and decided they wanted to do it themselves this year and turned out a bunch of things that look amateurish. What are we doing? Come on, Philly's got a million better things than their skyline.
The Boathouse Row, yeah, that's not doing it for you. This should come with an audio file for Action News 6, their theme song. Then I'd be all on board. Clinton Yates, take the point, take the FaceTime.
Yesterday was an incredible day in baseball for a couple different reasons. Kyle Lewis won the Rookie of the Year in the AL, and Devin Williams won the Rookie of the Year and the Reliever of the Year in the NL. Both of those brothers happen to be black. They come from different stories. Lewis came from Mercer, won the Golden Spikes. Williams came from high school, was supposed to go to Mizzou, ends up being a project, and gets to where he is. You guys don't understand how big of a deal this is to people that are around this game for these two young brothers to actually make it to this point. I realize they're just rookies, but it was a great day for everybody around the game who's black. Yo, man, I'm very excited about this. Congrats to both of them. It was awesome.
Thanks for shining a spotlight on it, Clinton. We received some sad news before the start of the show today. The passing of Boston Celtics legend Tommy Heinsohn. Jackie McMullen, I know this. You played her today. What he meant to you in your life, please.
Tommy's just embodies the Boston Celtics. Tony, for young people who don't remember him, he was a champion. Their first ever championship, he dropped 39-23. He won two championships as a coach and then broadcast the 2008 championship, the only player involved in all of their championships. But more than that, just a wonderful man that we're all going to miss desperately.
We're sorry for your loss, Jackie, and of course the Heinsohn family and all the Celtics family. See you tomorrow.